and scared. How did he ease her fear?
Let me hold you. She inched as close as she could get without actually touching him. He suppressed a smile. It might help if you sat on my lap.
Biting her lip, she crawled onto him and straddled his hips. Fuck, so close. That part of her opened wide. He went hard in an instant but forced himself to take things slowly. This was about Stella. He expected her to sit stiff as a board until he thought up some kind of sorcery to make her relax, but she immediately settled in close and rested her cheek against his shoulder. When his arms encircled her, she released a ragged sigh and went boneless. Seconds stretched into minutes, and he let himself savor the moment, not speaking, not fucking, not doing anything, just being with someone. The room was so quiet he heard the cars driving by outside. Talking voices passed their room, receded.
Are you falling asleep again?
He asked finally. No.
Good.
He ran his fingertips down the length of her arm and smiled when goosebumps rippled outward. Nuzzling her neck, he breathed in the soft scent of her skin and kissed the sweet spot just behind her jaw. Her lips called to him, but instead of trespassing, he sucked on her earlobe and bit it, startling a shaky sigh from her. This is foreplay? The breathy quality of her voice sent satisfaction curling through him.
It is.
Even though he knew the answer, he asked against her ear,
Do you like it?
She shivered and burrowed closer to him as additional goosebumps dotted her skin. Yes. But it's not what I expected.
What did you expect?
She shook her head.
Tell me if you want me to stop, or there's something specific you want.
As he spoke, he threaded his fingers into her hair and angled her head back. He trailed kisses along her jawline, nipped her chin, and kissed the corner of her mouth. Too close to the temptation of her lips. His body ached at the thought of taking her mouth in a deep kiss, and he almost did it, despite everything. He'd been dreaming of that mouth all week. Feeling like he was swimming against the tide, he forced his lips down to the column of her throat.
Touch me.
He brought her hands to his chest. She scraped her palms over him until they encountered his nipples. As if fascinated by the texture, she rubbed her thumbs on the hardening tips. His muscles tightened, and he shuddered with pleasure. Is that right? She asked.
I like that. And this.
He cupped dainty breasts in his palms and pinched the nipples just so. Her breath broke, and she gazed down at her chest. With his tanned hands on her pale skin and her decadent nipples captured between his fingers, it was an erotic sight, indeed. He couldn't resist pinching her again and enjoying her sharp intake of breath. Why does it feel so good when you do that? The wonder in her voice had him grinning.
Want to try something even better?
At her hesitant nod, he said,
Come up on your knees for me.
Her thighs flexed as she rose off his lap. Body stiff and breath shallow, she settled her hands on his shoulders. Just as he'd planned, the new position brought her nipples to face level. Though, if she wasn't careful, she'd poke an eye out with those things. Only in his line of work was blindness by nipple assault a true hazard. To be honest, however, he didn't really feel like he was working. There was no fantasy playing in his head, and he wasn't telling himself a new lie every 15 seconds. This moment, this woman, and his undeniable attraction to her were all real. He smoothed his hands up and down her back until her muscles relaxed beneath his palms. That was when he gave in and kissed the underside of one breast. She curled her fingers, and her nails pricked his skin. Pulling back, he asked,
Are you okay, Stella?
She cleared her throat twice. Tell me what you're planning, please.
I'm going to suck on your pretty nipples and lick them with my tongue.
Her grip tightened on his shoulders. That was a bit more graphic than I was expecting.
How would you have said it?
He ran his mouth from the underside of her breast up to the place where pale skin gave way to dark areola. I don't
don't know what. He covered her nipple with his mouth and sucked hard. Michael. The sound of his name falling from her lips was just as unexpected as it was hot. He pulled her closer so he could feast on her. No man could stay sane with tits like this in his face, in his mouth, rolling on his tongue. He could play with these for days. Relinquishing one, he licked his way to the second. She worked her fingers blindly through his hair, twisted, and arched her back with unconscious demand. Stella was loving this, losing her genius mind over his caresses. Before he knew what he was doing, he dragged his lips up her throat, along her jaw, back toward her mouth. He caught himself at the last second and pressed their cheeks together as he mentally shook himself. He was seriously fucked up. She'd said she didn't want it, and he kept... Their lips touched. He stiffened from the electric shock of it. She stroked his bottom lip with her tongue, and his instincts took over. He claimed her mouth, like a starved man. Her taste, her softness, her nails on his scalp, kiss after kiss after kiss. "I'm sorry. I know I said no kissing." She kissed him again. "But I couldn't resist. I thought about kissing you all week." Her words sank into him. He hadn't been the only one, after all. Another drugging kiss. "And now I can't seem to stop." A murmuring sound hummed in her throat as she kissed him yet again. "Then don't stop." Michael twined his tongue with hers, and her body went soft in his arms. She undulated her hips against the aching bulge beneath his fly and scraped her nipples over his chest. He bit back a groan. He hadn't wanted a woman like this in... Had he ever wanted a woman like this? When he drew back, her lips were parted on soundless gasps of desire. It took a moment for her eyes to clear enough to focus on him, and he expected her to turn around and check another box off her list. Instead, she wrapped her arms around his neck and pressed close, holding him. She crushed her lips against his temple. A shocking sense of being cherished spread through him. She wasn't acting like what happened between them was services rendered for payment received. She was acting like it meant something. Like she cared. Maybe even about him. Another hotel room, another bed, and another client in his arms. It was a regular Friday night, only he'd never felt so exposed, so raw, and he still wore his goddamned pants. This was supposed to be plain fucking. There wasn't supposed to be any caring. He couldn't keep doing this if he cared. Caring would turn the escorting into cheating. And he refused to cheat. Time to shake this nonsense out of his head and get down to business. Michael's weight settled between Stella's legs. Icy coldness dug into her belly, jolting her back to reality. Metal. His belt buckle. They'd fallen off track. What were they supposed to be doing? She called up the list in her head. Hand jobs. It was time to learn hand jobs. He trailed kisses to her neck, leaving her mouth free for talking. But by that time, she couldn't remember what she'd been about to say. His teeth scraped her skin, and shivers cascaded over her body. Her nipples tightened to the point of hurting, but warm palms soothed them. He flicked his tongue at one tip before he drew on her again, making her toes curl. A rough hand skated down her stomach and slipped beneath the waistband of her panties. Clever fingers caressed her with bold strokes. He was touching her. There. Right where she needed him to, even though she hadn't known it. Men had touched her before, but it hadn't felt like this. She only responded like this when she was alone, and never with this intensity. Stella. You're drenched. With each syllable, his lips grazed her stiff nipple. A hot exhalation gusted over her hungry flesh before he closed his teeth around her and bit with care. Her body clenched hard, clenched even harder when he pressed a finger deep, filling her. He massaged her with lazy swirls of his thumb, and she started trembling. He licked her tortured nipple back into the heat of his mouth, and that was all it took. She climbed quick and sharp toward release, and it scared the hell out of her. She clawed at his wrist. "Stop! Stop! I'm not ready!" As he pulled away, she dug her heels into the mattress, propelling herself to the far side of the bed. She hugged a pillow to her chest to hide her nakedness. Its coolness helped to dampen her arousal, and she took deep breaths. The impending orgasm retreated. Michael's face was a mask of slack-jawed incomprehension as he considered her. Her cheeks burned, and shame weighed down on her chest. She had to be the worst client he'd ever had. When he lifted a hand, panic spiked, and she backed up farther. He dropped his hand. "Stella, calm down. I won't touch you. Not if you don't want it." She clutched at the pillow.
"I know. I'm sorry. I just..."
"What did I do wrong?"
"Nothing."
His eyebrows rose in patent disbelief.
"I've never orgasmed with another person," she confessed.
He parted his lips, shook his head, started to speak, shook his head again.
"Does that mean you've never... at all?"
Her face burned so hot, if she had been wearing her glasses, they would have fogged up.
"I have. By myself."
"You don't like it?"
he asked in bewilderment.
"No, I do."
She exhaled a tight breath and sifted through her thoughts, trying to structure a coherent explanation.
"I just feel safer experiencing that alone. And I've had sex before. Very bad sex. I spent the time watching as the men grunted and sweated and heaved over me. To be honest, it disgusted me. I wanted the sex to bring me closer to someone, but it only made me feel more distanced. I don't want to do that to you."
"Not even close. I was right there with you, loving it."
She made an exasperated sound.
"I'm paying you to say those things."
"Well, you think that's what I'm paying for. That's not what I want."
"Do I look like I'm disgusted by you?"
He waved a hand in the vicinity of his hips, where an impressive bulge strained at the fly of his pants. She pursed her lips as she kept silent. If she spoke right now, chances were high she'd say the wrong thing. He was a seasoned escort. His body probably took commands like a show dolphin.
"You think I'm a liar?"
A predatory light shone in his eyes, and he crawled over the wrinkled bed covers toward her. She backed up reflexively and fell off the bed. As she rubbed at her head, he peered at her over the side of the mattress.
"Are you okay?"
Her throat clogged with embarrassment, and all she could manage was a curt, "Fine." He assessed her ungraceful, ground-crumpled form for a long moment.
"I think we should call it a night."
She leaned against the wall and hugged her legs to her chest. The unchecked boxes of the lesson plan weighed on her, but she needed to understand and untangle all the emotions clashing inside her head before she could move forward.
"Do you mind?"
He shook his head. Without a word, he stood, pulled his shirt back on, and did the buttons. She swallowed a protest as he covered up skin and muscle she'd been too preoccupied and rattled to properly appreciate. After he put on his shoes and shrugged into his suit jacket, she remembered something, jumped to her feet, and retrieved her tablet from her purse. "One second." It was difficult to cue up the page while one of her arms still held the pillow to her front, but she eventually managed and handed him the tablet.
"What's this?"
"Could you sign up for an alternate phone number, please? I think it's a good idea to be able to contact each other during the week if we need to. For logistical reasons. In case he wanted to cancel things.
I spoke to customer support at the agency and suggested they develop some kind of anonymous texting program, but in the meantime..." A funny smile touched his lips as he considered the glowing screen.
"You gave me your real number. I'm surprised you're not expecting mine in return."
"This is better for you, right?" Because it was definitely better for her.
Once lessons ended, neither of them wanted her calling him over and over just to listen to him hanging up on her. She couldn't see herself acting so desperate. but she'd never been obsessed with a person before, either. Not that she was. Yet. His facial expression was difficult to read as he said, "It is better for me. Thank you." He fished his phone out from his jacket pocket and tapped through a series of screens on both gadgets. After a few moments, a vibrating sound emanated from her purse. "Done," he said with a smile. "Perfect. Thanks." She forced her lips into an answering smile. He took a step toward the door before he paused.
"We should do something new next Friday. I could take you out."
Her heart squeezed. "Out?"
"Maybe dancing? Drinking? At a club? I hear there's this new place in San Francisco."
"I don't dance." And she didn't drink. And even though she'd never been clubbing, she was certain she didn't do that either.
"I can teach you. It'll help with lessons when we get to them later in the evening. Trust me."
Trust. This was the second time he'd told her to trust him. What would he think if she told him how difficult it was for her to do things like dancing and drinking? Going out was supposed to be fun. For her, it was work, hard work. She could interact with people if she wanted to, but it cost her. Sometimes more than others. In this case, was the reward worth the price? "How will it help with lessons?" she asked.
"You think too much. It'll help get you out of your mind, make you relax. Also, I'm really good at dancing. We'd have fun. Are you up to it?"
She told herself it was the idea of getting out of her mind, whatever that meant, and checking boxes on the lesson plans that decided for her. But that was only a small part of it. The biggest part was the eager sparkle in Michael's eyes. He wanted to go, and he wanted her to go with him. It was like a date, but not, of course. She knew it wasn't a date. "I can't guarantee I'll be able to dance."
"Does that mean you'll go?"
he asked with a tilt of his head. She lifted her chin and nodded. White teeth flashed as he smiled.
"Great. I'll make plans and keep you posted. Looking forward to it."
He leaned down and pressed a fast kiss to her cheek before he left the room. Stella bolted the door and sank onto the bed in a daze. These were supposed to be simple sex lessons. Why was it getting so complicated? Why had her body betrayed her? And why did she want to please Michael so badly she'd go clubbing for him? Who was she? She didn't know herself anymore. Chapter 9. "It's really bad to eat dessert first, you know," Stella commented. She knew she sounded pedantic and boring, but she couldn't help the nervous chatter spilling from her mouth. Her anxiety over clubbing had been escalating exponentially during the past week, and the main event was just hours away now. Also, Michael was holding her hand. Her palm sweated so badly she didn't know how he could stand touching her, let alone act like it was the most normal thing in the world. Oddly, she'd handled foreplay better than this. Up until the end, that was. And she'd been naked for that. She couldn't blame her reaction on her usual aversion to touch. She liked Michael's touch. As she and Michael walked down the busy San Francisco sidewalk, hand in hand, passers-by smiled at them. An old man in a newsboy cap winked at her. They thought she and Michael were a couple. Stella would have laughed if she didn't feel like she was somehow taking part in a duplicitous charade. A gaggle of party girls in low-cut dresses flocked by, giving Michael double takes, then triple takes, as they giggled into their hands and whispered to one another. They glanced at Stella with open envy that she enjoyed, even as she knew she didn't deserve it. Wearing a slate gray suit and black Oxford shirt, he was particularly scrumptious-looking tonight. "Here it is." Michael released her hand and held open the door for her as she walked into the old-fashioned gelato shop. Black and white tiles checkered the floor. Pink chandeliers illuminated display freezers filled with gelato and toppings.
"What's your flavor?"
She could barely think about ice cream with his hand resting at the base of her spine like that. Did he know he was doing it? She'd seen men do that with their girlfriends. Stella wasn't a girlfriend. Mint chocolate chip, she said.
Really? That's my favorite, too. I'll get something else then, so we can try something new.
He idly rubbed her waist as he considered the gelato flavors, and her body heated with awareness. Wait, what do you mean by we? A mischievous grin curved on his lips.
You don't want to share with me?
The college-aged girl behind the counter stared at Stella like she'd kicked a puppy. No, that's not it. Not entirely. After all the kissing they'd done, she knew it was silly to worry about germ transference. The fact was, she'd made a detailed analysis of ice cream flavors, and she'd decided this one was the best in existence. I just know what I like.
We'll see about that.
He tapped on the display case. Mint chocolate chip for her, and green tea for me. Stella wanted to pay, but he dug bills out of his wallet before she could pry the credit card out from the bodice of her sapphire blue sheath dress. Once they were seated at a black wrought iron table by the window, he dipped his spoon into his gelato, tasted it, and grinned a slow, wide grin as he slipped the clean spoon from his mouth and scooped out more. Oh, that's just ridiculous, she said. You look like you're auditioning for a Haagen-Dazs commercial. No one smiles like that after eating ice cream. He laughed.
It really is good.
His grin was out in full force, and, God forbid, did he have a dimple? Now I have to try it. She lowered her spoon toward his bowl.
Uh-uh-uh.
Instead of letting her scoop up some herself, he held his spoon to her lips. Her eyes jumped to his, and conflicting thoughts skittered through her mind. She shouldn't do it. This was too intimate. It was crossing a line of some kind. It felt too much like dating, which they weren't. It was just gelato. Just his spoon. He might take it as rejection if she didn't do it, and she could never, ever, in 1,000 years, hurt him. Not even in a trivial way. She parted her lips and let him feed her the gelato. Her heart knocked around her chest like a pinball as sweet green tea melted on her tongue. He watched her with expectation, oblivious to his effect on her. Okay, it's good. She tried to sound casual. This didn't mean anything. This wasn't a date. She was just another of his clients. Keep a cool head. She stabbed her spoon into her gelato.
I told you so.
I still like mine best. She put a spoonful of mint chocolate chip in her mouth. The complex combination of vanilla and mint exploded on her palate. Bits of chocolate crunched between her teeth. Perfection.
Let me try it.
She held her bowl out toward him, but he didn't put his spoon in it. He trailed his finger over her jaw as he tipped her head back and sealed his lips over hers. His tongue speared into her mouth, and the salt of him mixed with the flavor of the ice cream. She didn't know if she was mortified, shocked, aroused, or all three. With a lingering lick on her bottom lip, he pulled away and grinned, his dark eyes intense and hazy. I can't believe you did that. Flustered, she tried to scoop herself another spoonful. Her white plastic spoon skittered onto the tabletop. She grabbed for it, but his hands wrapped around hers. In the next instant, he was kissing her again. Sweet, closed-mouth kisses that still felt scandalous, and too delicious to resist. The gelato shop dropped away. The people disappeared. In that moment, it was just her and Michael. The taste of ice cream and their slowly warming lips. As Michael eased his tongue between Stella's parted lips, the chilled silk and mint chocolate sweetness of her mouth drove him out of his mind. He forgot he was seducing her, even forgot why. All he knew was her taste and the hot sighs of her breath. He wanted to devour her. Did she know she was making those soft humming sounds as she returned his kisses? Or that her cool fingers had snuck beneath the cuff of his shirt and were caressing his wrist? He wanted to slide his hands up her bared thighs and slip them beneath the short hem of her dress so he could touch her again. But the last time he'd done that, he'd scared the hell out of her. because she didn't want to make him feel the way she had with those three assholes. Clients never worried about him like that. Why did she? He wished she'd stop. He was fucking with his head.
Easy, man, a laughing voice interjected. You're in a public establishment.
Stella tore away, touching trembling fingers to her red lips. She'd surprised him today by trading her glasses for contacts and leaving her hair down in loose waves. She even wore makeup, though he'd kissed off all her lip gloss. That was fine. Like this, she was almost too beautiful to be real.
When the group of wiseasses at the next table started clapping and cheering, Michael expected her to grow flustered and embarrassed. She didn't. She ducked her head in that shy way she had and laughed along with them. Her soft smile and the luminous look in her eyes, however, were just for him. And they made him feel like he'd single-handedly vanquished an army.
He was the one she saw, the one she smiled at. No one else.
His plan to seduce her out of her anxiety was working. He had no doubt by the time he took her home tonight, she'd be ready to check the big boxes on her lesson plans. He should have done this from the beginning. Everyone knew if you wanted inside someone's pants, you didn't start in the bedroom. That was what seduction, romance, hand-holding, and dancing were for. That was what these ice cream kisses were for. The problem was, they were working on him, too. The more time he spent with her, the stronger his attraction to her grew, and not just physically. If he couldn't check all her boxes within the next two lessons, he'd feel obligated to extend the length of their arrangement, and that was a bad idea. He might do something stupid and fall for her. Never once did he imagine he could spin a fairy tale ending out of such a scenario. Not only were they worlds apart in terms of education and culture, but Stella was rich. If she learned about his dad and the shitty things he'd done to get his hands on money, she'd never be able to trust Michael. There was a reason they had sayings like, "The apple doesn't fall far from the tree," "Like father, like son," and "A chip off the old block." He fought against it and hated his dad for it. But he carried that same badness inside himself. He was a ticking time bomb, and he didn't want Stella to be around when his endurance ran out, and he exploded, hurting everyone around him. Sex was the way out of this. Check the boxes, finish the lessons, move on. Only now that he knew her better, he wanted to do more than teach her how to be good at sex. He wanted to give her the best nights of her life. Tonight, he was giving her fireworks.
Chapter 10. After dinner at a fusion restaurant, Stella walked with Michael down streets lined with posh department stores and skyscrapers bearing the names of large banks. Pedestrian traffic, one part tourist, one part native city dweller in windbreakers, one part young partygoer dressed to the nines, choked the sidewalks and spilled onto the roads, where cars passed at a slow crawl. This was the Bay Area at night, something she had never cared to experience. Surprisingly, she was having a good time. When it came to escorting, Michael was the full package. He was great both in and out of bed. His very public kisses should have embarrassed her, but instead, she'd loved them. Who wouldn't love being kissed by Michael where people could see and admire and become green with envy? He held her hand every chance he got, and he was easy to talk to. She didn't usually enjoy new things, but Michael made her feel safe. With him at her side, she was a part of this busy San Francisco night, not just an onlooker. There was something novel and wonderful about being in a crowd and not feeling alone. They neared a set of red velvet ropes where scantily clad women and men in suits waited in long lines. A bouncer raked coldly appraising eyes over Stella's body and face, making her lean into Michael.
"Is this the club?" she asked, feeling her anxiety resurface. He wrapped an arm around her and nodded. To the bouncer he said,
"We should be on the list. The name is..."
The bouncer tipped his buzzed head toward the entrance.
Go on in.
Michael brushed a kiss against her temple, tucked her hand into the crook of his elbow, and walked with her toward the front doors of 212 Fahrenheit. A third bouncer held the door open for them, nodding at Michael as they passed. They let us in because they think you'll be good for business, Michael whispered in her ear. Her cheeks heated, and she tried not to let his words go to her head. She'd gotten her hair and makeup done for tonight. This wasn't really her. A decent number of people milled about the interior of the club, and she fisted her hands and gave herself a quick pep talk. She'd been to benefit dinners and work galas. This shouldn't be a problem. The din of their conversations mixed with subdued electronic music and filled her ears. Thankfully, neither of those things was particularly loud. She could still think. The space was one open room decorated in a minimalist modern style, with exposed metal beams and sharp edges. A large bar occupied the back, and a DJ controlled the music from a crow's nest on the adjacent wall. Seating was sparse and came in the form of upholstered booths centered around low metal tables. There were only four such arrangements, and two were occupied. I want one of those tables. Her voice came out sure and steady, and the sound reassured her, loosened the knots in her stomach. She was doing fine.
They're not free.
She slipped her credit card out from the top of her dress and handed it to Michael, laughing when he stared at her with a surprised grin. I had nowhere else to put it. He slid his hands up her back and pulled her close.
What else is in there?
He asked, as he peered at her modest show of cleavage. My driver's license.
I have pockets, you know. You could have given me your cards and phone to hold for you.
I didn't think of that. I left my phone at home because I couldn't fit it in. But now that she knew it was an option, this was why women had boyfriends. Except he wasn't her boyfriend. Michael's fingertip tucked beneath the bodice of her dress and skimmed across the front. It brushed inadvertently across a nipple, making her blood race and breast swell before he found the license and slipped it free. From the twinkle in his eye, she realized it hadn't been an accident at all. His expression softened as he swept his thumb over the photograph on her driver's license. In the outdated picture, she looked young and extremely shy, an accurate description for the time. She liked to think she'd gained sophistication since then. Just look at where she was now. That was right after I finished my postdoc.
How old were you here?
25. The corner of his mouth kicked up.
You look 18. Even now you barely look legal.
Allow me to demonstrate how legal I am by drinking. Feeling drunk off success and empowerment, she marched to one of the empty tables and sat, eyes peeled for waitstaff. Michael tucked a hand into his pants pocket and strode toward her with a relaxed bearing worthy of the runway.
All of him was worthy of the runway.
But there was also something about that suit. It looked expensive and excellently tailored, yet somehow more chic than anything she'd ever seen on other men. He stretched out next to her, close enough that their thighs pressed together, and propped his arm on the seat behind her. She liked that. A lot. It made her feel like he was staking a claim on her. What brand is this suit? I love it. Without the barest hesitation, she smoothed her hands over the lapels and crisp shoulders of the jacket. Searching her eyes, he smiled a slow, beautiful smile.
It's custom made.
My compliments to your tailor. She checked the inside and was even more pleased when she couldn't detect the bunching of hasty seams underneath the fine silk lining. Expert craftsmanship.
I'll tell him.
Maybe I should switch. Does he do women's apparel? Is he terribly busy? As she spoke, she couldn't help running her palms down his chest, loving the firmness of his body beneath the starched cotton of his dress shirt.
He is very busy.
She sighed in disappointment. My tailor is all right, but she thinks I'm crazy. She stabs me a lot, too. I'm not convinced it's always an accident. His muscles tensed underneath her hands, and he sat up straighter. His voice had an angry edge as he asked,
You mean she stabs you on purpose?
Was he upset? On her behalf? The thought sent warmth bubbling through her body,
and whatever grudges she'd harbored against her vindictive tailor were forgotten. In her defense, I'm very picky. She calls me her diva client, Stella said.
That doesn't make it okay. She should have better control of her pins. It's not that hard. Even when I was 10, I still...
He pressed his lips together and raked a hand through his hair.
What things are you picky about?
Oh, well, I... She drew her hands toward herself and laced them together so she couldn't tap her fingers. I'm particular about the way things feel on my skin. Tags and scratchy, lumpy seams. Loose threads. Places where the fabric is too tight or too loose. I'm not a diva, I'm just...
A diva,
he said with a teasing smirk. She wrinkled her nose at him. Fine. A waitress in a short black skirt and a tight white top, bearing the club's logo, sauntered to the table. Michael handed her Stella's credit card.
We'd like to reserve the table for the rest of the night. Water for me. Stella?
He wasn't drinking, too? She wasn't sure she wanted to do it alone. Something sweet, please. The waitress arched an eyebrow but gave a professional nod.
Coming right up.
After the waitress disappeared, Michael explained,
I'm driving.
She smiled. I like this responsible side of you.
Michael is always responsible, aren't you, man?
A stranger appeared out of nowhere, and Stella watched in awe as he helped himself to the sofa opposite them. He wore a tight black t-shirt over Bulldog Hunt's shoulders and kept his hair buzzed close to his scalp. She tried not to stare rudely at the intricate tattoos decorating his muscled arms and neck, but it was difficult. She'd never seen so many tattoos up close. Michael sat forward.
Quan.
The stranger gave Michael a hard look.
No, I get it. You must have lost your phone or something.
Switching his attention to Stella, he said,
I'm Quan, Michael's favorite cousin and best friend.
Cousin, best friend. Her nerves jumped into high tension. She held her hand out over the table. Stella Lane, nice to meet you. He stared at her hand with an amused expression before he shook it and sprawled back against the sofa.
So he does have a girlfriend after all. Let me guess. You're a doctor.
As she opened her mouth to correct him on both accounts, Michael wrapped an arm around her and pulled her against his side.
Stella's an econometrician.
She gazed up at him in confusion until she realized he was worried she'd divulge his escorting to his cousin. Then, she mentally rolled her eyes. Her social skills were bad, but they weren't that bad. Quan surprised her by leaning toward her with a bright expression.
That's related to economics, isn't it?
Yes.
Has she met Janie yet?
He asked Michael. Who was Janie? But Michael didn't appear to hear the question. His attention was focused on a petite blonde woman seated at the bar. When she patted the empty bar stool next to her, he cursed under his breath and got to his feet.
I'll be back in a second.
Stella's body went cold as she watched him stride to the bar. He sat on the indicated bar stool, and the blonde trailed her fingers down his arm. They spoke, but their words couldn't be heard above the music and the noise from the growing crowd. When had so many people arrived? Their numbers had almost doubled since she'd entered. More continued to file into the club in a steady stream. Is that Janie? She asked.
I don't know who that is, but it's not Janie.
After glancing at Stella's face, Quan smiled slightly.
He clearly didn't want to talk to her, okay? You have nothing to worry about.
But it didn't feel like she had nothing to worry about. The blonde laughed at something Michael said and edged closer to him. Enviably, luscious breasts flattened against his arm. Whatever happened next was blocked from view as people gathered around the bar. Are there usually this many people here? Stella asked.
Nah.
Quan rubbed at the scruff on his head and stretched his neck side to side.
This popular DJ is spinning tonight, so it's busier than normal. The acoustics are really good here. Prepare to be blown away.
She swallowed past a lump in her throat, and a sense of foreboding settled in her gut. Since when was being blown away a good thing? Hundreds of bodies packed the room now, far more than she'd anticipated. A grating electronic boom erupted from speakers built into the ceiling, and Stella's heart lurched so hard, her chest hurt. The room flashed red before flames began dancing up the walls. The crowd screamed with excitement while Stella struggled to breathe. Lasers and smoke. The grating receded and ephemeral, orchestral sounds whispered over the room. Before she could attempt to relax, a beat picked up in the background, gaining speed with a slow build-up.
"Don't look so scared," Quan shouted. "That's not real fire. It's just LED lights and projectors."
The waitress appeared out of thin air and plopped a drink onto the table. She said something, but Stella couldn't hear it. In two blinks, the waitress vanished into the mass of moving bodies. The music worked towards some kind of climax, and the people grew agitated as it neared. Stella picked up the drink and took a large gulp. Lemon, cherry, and amaretto. She wished it were vodka, or better yet, straight ethanol. It would work faster that way. Quan gave her an amused look.
"Thirsty?"
She nodded. Loud digital sirens screeched. Silence hung over the room for a good 5 seconds, and a melody cascaded from the speakers. Without warning, the bass resumed at a frantic, adrenaline-inducing speed. The crowd went wild. Her heart pounded in a dizzying rush, and fear threatened to swamp her. Too much noise, too much frenzy. She bottled up her emotions and buried them deep inside herself, forced herself to take slow breaths. As long as she looked calm on the outside, she was winning this. The music raced, but time crawled. The body shifted so she got a clear view of the bar. The blonde was playing with the collar of Michael's shirt, leaning in too close. She sealed her lips over his. Stella flinched, like someone had slapped her. She waited for him to push the woman away. She waited for what felt like ages. Waited until the crowd moved again and blocked her view. Acid and amaretto climbed up the back of her throat. She needed to find a place to vomit. She forced her way into the crowd, pushed through bodies swaying to the rapid tempo. The music bombarded her. Lights strobed. Sour body odor, cologne, alcoholic breath, hard limbs and pointed joints. Was Michael still kissing that woman? Her eyes flooded with tears. The bodies formed a cage around her. She couldn't move. She couldn't cry for help. A hand closed around hers. Michael? No, it was Quan. He shoved people aside. A woman swore at him when he made her spill her drink. A guy shoved him back. Quan merely elbowed the guy to the side and brushed past. Through it all, his hold on her hand remained secure and steady. He led her through the people, opened a door, and cool, sweet air floated over her face. The door clicked shut, muting the music. Someone was gasping. The flashing light was gone. She covered her eyes and sank down to the cold cement. Her trembling legs refused to take her weight. "Thank you," she made herself say.
"Are you all right?"
"Going to throw up." Her nails clawed at the sidewalk as she tried to find a suitable place to be sick. She couldn't get enough air into her lungs.
"Easy. Easy. Slow breaths."
He moved as if to touch her, but stopped when she flinched away.
"Sit up straight. That's it. In through your nose, out through your mouth."
Who was gasping like that? The sound was driving her out of her mind.
"Hold on. Let me go get Michael."
"Don't," she grabbed his wrist. "I'm fine." She leaned back against the side of the building and turned her face into it. The coldness felt good on her fevered forehead. Distracted her from thinking about Michael with that woman. Michael kissing that woman. With her mouth almost touching the wall, the sound of the gasping grew louder, and she realized it was coming from her. She gritted her teeth together, fisted her hands, and tightened every muscle in her body. The gasping stopped.
"Do you need anything?" Quan asked.
"I'm fine. I'm just overstimulated." She was already feeling better, though her temples throbbed. Quan tilted his head to the side.
"My brother used to get overstimulated like this. He's autistic."
Her chest constricted at his words. She shouldn't have used the word overstimulated. Most people didn't use it. Why would they?
When he narrowed his eyes, she could almost see the connections being made in his mind, the question forming there. She held her breath and hoped he wouldn't ask. She could withhold the truth, but she'd never learned how to lie.
Are you?
Her shoulders slumped and her throat burned with shame. She made herself nod.
Michael doesn't know, does he? He never would have taken you here if he knew. You should tell him.
All she could do was shake her head. Anytime people learned about her disorder, they started walking on eggshells around her. It strained the relationship until they found a way to leave. She never told people anymore. Apparently, that wasn't enough to keep some from figuring it out on their own. Can I borrow $100 from you, please? I want to go home. And her credit card was inside.
You're going to leave? Michael's probably looking for you.
She doubted that. He'd been busy. As she pushed herself to her feet, she marveled at the disconnect between her body and her mind. How could her limbs still follow orders when her head felt so tired and hollow? I promise I'll pay you back.
Is this because that chick kissed him? I hope you saw Michael trying to peel her off. He sucks at protecting himself from women.
Hope sparked, bright and foolish. Really? The door opened and a swift techno beat radiated from the doorway.
There you are.
Michael stepped outside and the door shut behind him, silencing the music. His gaze jumped from her to Quan and back again.
What's going on? Are you okay?
I needed some fresh air. Quan's brow furrowed like he wanted to speak, and Stella held her breath. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. He'd change. Everything would change. And she didn't want that to happen yet.
She was trying to borrow cab fare from me. She saw you in that blonde necking and wanted to run, Quan said.
Her stomach didn't know if it should relax or not tighter at his words. He made her sound emotional and possessive. She wished it weren't true.
You were going to leave? Just like that?
Michael asked, his voice tinged with disbelief. She stared down at the pavement. I thought you and her, that you...
No. With you right there? Give me some credit, will you? God, Stella.
He gripped her waist and pulled her against him. His smell, his arms tight around her, his solid presence. Heaven. She shut her eyes and sagged against him.
Do you want to go back in?
He asked. No. Adrenaline shot through her body, tightening every muscle that had relaxed in his embrace. As an afterthought, she added, Please,
let's go home then.
Chapter 11 Stella was reserved as they walked the few blocks back to her white Model S. Several times Michael caught her massaging her temples, but when he asked if she had a headache, her response was an unintelligible mumble. He would have thought she was doing the silent martyr act in retribution for his supposed cheating, but that didn't seem her style. No, her style was leaving him without a single word. When Quan had told him she wanted to abandon him at the club, it had sucker-punched Michael in the gut. The last person to leave him had been his dad, but where Michael's dad had left him with an enormous mess to clean up, Stella had planned to leave him with her car and her credit card. Who did that? Even worse, he hadn't deserved it, either time. Tonight, he'd been busy preventing his crazy ex-client from making an enormous scene in front of Stella. Eliza was a true diva and loved drama in all forms. Now that she'd finally succeeded in divorcing her millionaire husband and taking half of his net worth, she wanted Michael back. She was willing to pay whatever it took. She refused to accept that Michael would rather fuck his way through splintered driftwood than return to her bed. She'd detained him for long minutes, tossing extravagant numbers at him, before plastering her mouth to his. He would forever associate the taste of cinnamon gum, cigarettes, and whiskey with Eliza. So different from Stella, who tasted like mint chocolate chip ice cream. They piled into her car and she activated the seat warmer, sank against the backrest, and stared out the window, absently tapping her fingers on her knees.
He turned the radio on to break the silence, but she promptly turned it back off. Her fingers resumed their tapping. It was hypnotic, but a little annoying. He sent her a pointed look, but she didn't notice. After he took them out of the city and merged into the light traffic on 101S, he broke down and said, "When you do that finger tapping, are you playing a song? Like on the piano?" She stopped tapping her fingers and sat on her hands. "It's Debussy's Arabesque. I really like the combination of triplets and eighth notes."
"So you play?"
When he'd picked her up from her downtown Palo Alto house, it had been impossible to miss the black grand piano dominating her otherwise empty living room. If she was artistically talented on top of being smart, successful, and gorgeous, she was officially his dream woman in the flesh, and so far out of his league as to be laughable. Even if he didn't have all the shit associated with his dad dangling between them, he had almost nothing a girl like her could want. There was his face and his body, but anyone could have that if they paid enough. Maybe she would have been attracted to the old him, the man who had been free to pursue his passions. There'd been a lot going for that guy. Michael barely knew him anymore. "I do," Stella said. "I started playing before I could speak." He arched his eyebrows. Apparently, in addition to being his dream woman, she was also Mozart. "That's not as impressive as it sounds," she said with a wry lift of her lips. "I was a late speaker."
"I have a hard time picturing that. You seem so perfect to me."
She bowed her head and released a heavy breath, but when he began to ask her what was wrong, the slow minivan in front of him caught his attention. He switched lanes and accelerated soundlessly past it. Smooth as butter. He loved fast cars. But thinking about cars always reminded him of his current car, a shiny black BMW M3, and how he'd gotten it.
"She's my crazy ex-client," he said.
He felt the weight of Stella's gaze on the side of his face, the woman in the club.
"Yes."
She lifted a hand toward the bridge of her nose. When she couldn't adjust her glasses, she clasped her neck instead. "Did you like kissing her?"
"I didn't kiss her. She kissed me. But no, I didn't like it."
"Can you be very honest and answer one question for me?"
This was going to be interesting. "Yes."
"Are you a different person when you're with me?"
"You mean, if I bumped into you when you're not my client anymore, would I be a dick around you?"
If she was no longer his client, she'd probably be with another man. He twisted his lips as a bad taste filled his mouth.
"No."
"Are you lying just to make me feel better?"
"Stella, I've never lied to you. You're going to have to decide if you believe me."
They didn't speak for the rest of the drive. He drove up the driveway to her smart, renovated cottage, complete with rosemary hedges and solar panels on the roof, and parked in the surgically sterile two-car garage. Once he turned off the car, her eyelids fluttered open.
"You're home."
She ran a hand over her sleep-matted hair. "I'm almost too tired to get out of the car."
"I can carry you."
She aimed a sleepy smile at him, clearly thinking he was joking.
"I'm serious."
The idea of carrying her to bed was highly appealing at the moment. He liked holding her. And as messed up as it was, he wanted to check boxes. He hadn't gone this long without fucking in 3 years, and seeing Stella in that dress was giving him full-body blue balls. "Don't be silly." She pawed her door open and stood up with movements that were clumsy, even for her. When he locked the car and met her at the door to her house, however, her eyes were steady. "I don't have energy for lessons tonight."
"It doesn't have to be lessons."
He trailed his fingertips down her arm, and her skin dotted with goosebumps. Her eyelids went heavy and her eyes sensual. "Beautiful Stella."
"I can just make you feel good."
He stroked over her palm, and her fingers unfurled, inviting him to touch.
"You already paid for tonight, Stella."
Her hand fisted shut, and she turned to face the door. "I wanted to talk to you about that. Please, come in." After returning her shoes to their place in her coat closet, Stella padded past her beloved Steinway to her dining room enjoying the feel of the cool hard wood on her aching feet. Michael followed behind her quietly, and she suspected he was noting how barren the space was. No centerpiece adorned her dining room table, no artfully arranged place settings either. There was nothing but... She didn't know what kind of wood the table was made of, but it was soft. She ran her fingers over the satiny surface as she walked to the far end of the table where she usually sat. The chairs surrounding the dining table were the only ones in her entire house.
"Did you just move in?"
he asked. She pulled a chair out for him and rubbed her elbow awkwardly. "Not really." Instead of sitting down, he strode into the adjoining kitchen with his hands in his pockets, inspecting the gas range, the stainless steel refrigerating units, and whatever else she had in the echoing space. Cold, gray, and cavernous. The kitchen was her least favorite room in her house. At least, it usually was. It became a different place with Michael in it. The ambiance turned intimate and inviting, and the low-hanging lights twinkled more like stars than energy-efficient LEDs. It no longer felt lonely.
"What does not really mean? A month ago? Two?"
He aimed a teasing grin at her as he asked.
"A year?"
5 years. His face went slack and he stared at her house with new eyes.
"So you like it empty like this?"
She shrugged. "I'm at the office most of the time, so it doesn't bother me. Here, I have a bed, a nice TV, and really fast internet." He shook his head and chuckled.
"The essentials."
"Is that too strange? Like being a late talker or getting overstimulated at clubs?"
"No, I think I like it,"
he said with a smile.
"You could use some art, though, and a couch or two. Maybe a coffee table. You don't need much more than that."
A knot formed in her throat. At that precise moment in time, when she had him standing in her kitchen, in her house, she felt like she didn't need anything else in the whole world, and their time together was ending soon. She wasn't ready for that to happen. "Would you mind sitting so we can talk?" she asked. With a serious nod, he rounded the oversized center island and sat in the chair she'd pulled out. His proximity drew her like a magnet, and she seated herself before she could do something distracting like touch him. She needed to stay focused. Maybe if she spoke very eloquently, he'd agree to her new plan. She rested jittery hands on the tabletop, and within seconds, her fingers started tapping. A warm hand slid over hers and squeezed.
"You never need to be nervous with me. You know that, right?"
When he didn't remove his hand, she analyzed the way he made her feel. This was a casual, uninvited touch, the kind that normally made her want to crawl into herself. But all she registered right now was Michael's warmth and the roughness of his skin, his weight. She didn't understand it, but her body accepted him. Only him. The realization made her mind sharpen with determination, and she gathered her courage and plowed ahead. "I'm issuing you a new proposal." He tilted his head in a measured way.
"You mean, you want to extend our lessons beyond next Friday?"
"I mean, I don't want lessons anymore. Our time together tonight, both the good parts and the not-so-good parts, made me realize a few things. While I'm bad at sex, I'm even worse at relationships. I think I'm better off spending my time working on that. Before today, I never shared ice cream with someone or held hands while I walked down a sidewalk. I never had a dinner conversation that wasn't filled with long stretches of painful silence, or those embarrassing moments when I accidentally offend people and drive them away." He ran his thumb over her knuckles before he considered her with an unwavering gaze.
"I didn't see any relationship problems, except for when you tried to abandon me. But if I'd actually been kissing her, I would have deserved it. You did fine tonight."
"That's because I was with you." He thought that over for a pensive moment.
"Maybe it's because you feel like you're in control when you're with me. Because you're paying me. There's less pressure, and you can relax."
"That's not it at all. I relax with you because of the way you treat me. Because you're you," she said with certainty.
His eyebrows drew together, and he went still for several breaths.
Stella, you shouldn't tell me things like that.
Why? It's true. Emotions crossed his face faster than she could read them.